See each of you here this morning. We'll be using the 101 books today. Let's turn to Psalm number 22. Psalm number 22. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please.
This morning, Lord, so thankful to be in your house, Lord, around your people. Lord, I just think of this song, Never Alone. So thankful, Lord, that we're never alone. Thankful we have a God in heaven that loves us, Lord. Lord, each one of us has our struggles, our burdens, our busy lives, Lord, but thankfully we're never alone. Lord, we ask this morning in this service that we wouldn't be alone. Lord, that you'd meet with us, that your Spirit would be in this service, that you would direct, that you'd take control, that you'd give pastor the words to preach. Lord, but give us the hearts to hear. Lord, give us the ears to hear. Help us not just to be here as a duty or as a chore, Lord, but because we know we're never alone and because we love you. Lord, help us to hear your word preached. Help us to hide it in our hearts. Lord, help us to be challenged by it, Lord, that it wouldn't just fall on deaf ears, but rather we take it and apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that everything we do here, Lord, from the singing to the preaching to the fellowship, Lord, that you'd be in it. Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for being able to be in church today, Lord. And we just hand over this service to you in your Spirit. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. All right. Good thing. Get her started young. All right. We'll go across the page now. We'll sing number 23, Where He Leads, I'll Follow.
Church, thank you for the wonderful gift basket. I always considered it an honor and a privilege to speak at Ray Street. I pray for God's blessing as you press on. Thanks again, Brother Dick Prue. It's a blessing. Brother's a blessing. So he tells us thank you for that gift basket game. So real quick, we're going to have a church picnic, Catasauqua Park, St. John Street, Church Street, little pavilion there, 12 to 2. But if you want to come at 6 in the morning, you're more than welcome. We got it all day. So from 6 till whenever the day ends at 12 midnight, we'll be there. The buns, like the buns, the hamburgers, let me put that first. The hamburgers, the hot dogs, and the buns will be provided. The church will also provide mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, whatever, pickles, onions, tomatoes. We'll just have a good time. The church will provide all that. I want to say this too, if you can't bring something, still come. You're strapped, just don't feel like you got to bring something. Just bring yourself. If you need a ride, let me know. I'll get you a ride over there. Okay? If you want to be there, we'll get you there. Okay? So just let me know if there's any issues or whatnot. If you want to be there, Lord willing, we'll try to get you there. This Thursday, we're going to try something, see if we can get yelled at. We probably will. I was talking to a brother up in Maine, and they started doing some street stuff up there, just holding up some signs and getting cussed out. And you want to get cussed out, maybe spit at or something like that, we're going to try to do it Thursday. that's a good announcement there. No, we're going to try to hold some scripture signs.
Amen.
They came in. I got a big one that I've used before down in Charleston. We're not going to do any preaching, Lord willing. No, just a witness. Just to hold up a sign that has a Bible verse on it and a question about where you spend eternity. Just maybe somebody driving by will glance over and read it and will just think about their soul. That's all I want to try to do. Just try to be a testimony to this community and just get somebody just to think for a moment about their eternal destiny. So if you're interested in that, it'll be at Airport Road with the cross section of Airport Center Road, which is a road that Target and Sam's Club is on. There's a Waffle House right there, and there's an abandoned gas station right there. That's where I'm going to stand, that abandoned gas station. Park right in there. Lord willing, 6 to 7. That's kind of, somebody wanted to go with me from the church, so we talked about a time. I think that's the best time. 6 to 7, just stand out there for about an hour. Just hold a sign, we'll go home, and just pray that God will bear witness to his word. And that's all I have. Amen.
Along with what Pastor was just saying about the picnic and wanting everybody to attend, even if you can't bring something. If you plan to come, please sign up, okay? The sign-up sheet is over here on the organ. If you can bring something, go ahead and write that down. But if you can't bring something or you aren't sure yet what it is you're going to bring, just sign up. That's fine. Think about what you're going to bring, and then you can put that on the list later. So, hope you'll do that. As far as announcements from me, we've already announced through the end of this month, we're going to continue our study in Titus chapter 2. We are including verses 11 through 15 in that study. And once this month is done, we're going to move on to that new study with the little red booklets. First Sunday in June, we'll start that. If you have not picked one up, there is one on the table there in the back next to the sound booth. If we need to order more, please let either Brother Jim Bush or Pastor know. We'll get more if we need them. So if you don't have one, we would like you to have one. I have looked at the booklet already, and it's been a blessing to me already. Some of you probably have already done so too. And we're looking forward to what God will do through that study. I believe that's it, except don't forget our service time for the evening on Sundays has changed. It's now 5:30 and not 6:30. So I hope you'll come and be with us tonight at 5:30 p.m. Our Wednesday prayer and Bible study at 7, that hasn't changed. Hope you'll come and be with us for those things. On Sunday nights, we've been looking at 1 Thessalonians. That's been a blessing. And then on Wednesday nights, in 2 Peter. So I hope you'll come and be with us for these things. I believe that's all the announcements I can think of, Pastor. Oh, we need to follow my service.
Yeah, so after service, okay. Like I said, the Sunday school, any men that want, they will be downstairs. It won't take very long, I promise you. It won't be very long. Just to meet you with a second down there. And also, if you're wondering about the church sign, so I almost got that. We're going, hopefully this week, we'll get the paint on it and the vial on it. So hopefully that'll be done here by the end of this week. There's a little more detail getting that stuff stripped off there. But that, and then the church website is slowly coming along, so there's sermons on there. So we're coming along with some of these things, trying to update it. So, yeah.
Okay. And last but not least, along the whole update thing, it's been a very long process. But we're working on... we haven't had a new address list since 2017. It's long overdue. We're working on trying to get that worked out. So between Pastor and myself and Donna, we'll try to get all that squared away. If anything has changed from the old list and we don't know about it already, please contact one of us and we'll try to get that list done properly. Pastor has already said this. We're going to have two lists, one with just name, address, and phone number for everybody to can have that. And then only for emergency use, we'll have a separate list for which will include email addresses only for emergency contact, like if we have to cancel a service or something like that. That's the only reason we want to have that information. And if you want people to know your email, that is fine. Please just let Pastor know that, and we'll go from there.
We're good on that, sir?
Okay. All right. Let's turn to number 26. Okay. Well, then we'll skip that. We'll go to Psalm number 27 then. Psalm number 27.
Since question. That's the question right there. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. So that's the question. Whereas it all comes back to the desire. What do you desire? The world or the Lord Jesus Christ? If you take your Bible this morning, we're going to look at a specific word this morning in the Bible, a teaching on sanctification, and just looking at what sanctification means according to Scripture. If you take your Bible, if you're able to stand, take your Bible and look at First Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. Looking at sanctification this morning, the doctrine or the teaching of sanctification. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, chapter 5 and verse number 19. The Bible says here, it says, quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for these hymns, special, Lord, that was sung, dear God, Lord, that we're never alone. No, never alone. Dear God, thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, may our heart's desire be to have you, Lord. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Lord, help us this morning to learn out of your word. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your book. Dear God, that we would, Lord, not quench the Spirit, but Lord, that our life would be a sanctified life that will be pleasing to you. Lord, we ask your blessings now on the service for guidance and direction. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19, Paul's telling those there at Thessalonica, he says, quench not the Spirit. Now again, you do your little bit of opposites, or you look at this statement here made in the book of Thessalonians, and you see that the Spirit can be quenched. Okay? How can the Spirit be quenched? And we're going to look at this morning. I believe one of the ways that the Spirit can be quenched is that we don't come into the services or come before God in our prayer life. When we come before God, when we open up the Bible to read it. Listen, if there's iniquity or if there's sin in our life, then the Spirit is going to be quenched. I'm not saying you're not going to lose the Spirit or lose your salvation, but you can definitely quench the Spirit. And I believe a quenched spirit sometimes occurs because of sanctification. Now, look over at John chapter number 17. The doctrine of sanctification. John chapter number 17 and look at verse number 13. John 17 verse number 13. Now, what I'm reading to you here in John chapter 17 and verse number 13, we're going to look at verses 13 through 19. This is part of a conversation that the Lord Jesus Christ is having with his disciples at the Last Supper. Okay? So this is a conversation that the Lord's having with them from John chapter 13 all the way up to John chapter 18, verse number 1. This is a continual conversation that the Lord is having with his disciples, okay? And here in John chapter 17, verse number 13, we kind of come into the middle of him speaking. And he says, and now I come to thee. He says, and now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. The Lord at this part is praying to the Father. He says in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, seeing they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. So as Jesus is praying to the Father, he's saying that, listen, he's not of the world, neither are they of the world. And that not that the Father would take them out of the world, but that the Father would keep them from the evil that is in the world. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see a lot of this here in these three verses here about the Lord. Three verses, the Lord talking about him not being of the world, nor his disciples of the world. Then look what he says in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Lord's setting this thing up here with his disciples as he's praying to the Father, and he brings up the word sanctify and sanctified. And so this morning, I would just take a little bit of time and look at this doctrine of sanctification. To me, it's a very important teaching for the church and for the brethren that come to church. Sanctification. It may seem like a big word, but basically the word sanctification means this: the act of making oneself holy. Basically, allowing the word, the Lord to sanctify you, to make you holy to his purposes while you walk on this planet. Sanctification, in an evangelical sense, is the act of God's grace. You see, you need God's grace to do this. So you can't sanctify yourself by your own willpower. You need God's grace to work. You're not going to sanctify yourself without God's grace. You'll lose your mind. Look, in order to show patience with somebody, you need God's grace, because your patience isn't going to go so far. And the devil knows how to work on your patience. Right? You might be a very patient individual in certain subjects. But that one little subject comes up that the devil knows, yeah, this one will get his goad. Or goat. It'll get his goat. I'll have to take a little rabbit trail here for a second. I always thought it was goad. G-O-A-D. But it's goat. Did not know that. And it refers back to, from what I gathered, that they used to put goats in with racehorses. And so if you wanted to mess with a guy who's getting ready to race his horse, they would go in and steal the goat, and his racehorse wouldn't race as well. Just a little tidbit there for a second. I always thought it was goad, but it's goat. Now, I don't even know why I was saying that. But we're going on here. So you need God's grace in order to have patience. And that's it. The devil knows how to push each one of our buttons. And we all got buttons that can be pushed, because we're all human. He knows which ones to push here and push there to just get the right thing coming out of you right then and there. So we need God's grace. But it says the act of God's grace by which, now listen to this, talking about sanctification. The act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin and the world. That's sanctification. Sanctification is the work of God's grace in your life, to where it starts to move your affections from off this world and to be purified and alienated from the sin that it produces and puts forth. That's the working of sanctification in your life. Now, some believe that you can obtain complete sanctification on this planet in your flesh. Now, your spirit's been born again of God. Your spirit within you cannot sin if you're a child of God, but you're still in this flesh. And some brethren in some churches teach you can obtain perfect sanctification in this flesh. No. You'll go crazy trying, they'll put you in the insane asylum. You'll either go crazy or you get so depressed that you'll want to quit, because you still got this flesh. And this flesh, the Lord's left us in his flesh so that we can procure rewards someday. And it's a daily battle with this flesh, and sometimes you're going to give in to your flesh. Hopefully, the longer you're saved, the less you give in to your flesh, and the more you yield yourself to the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. But it will be, your flesh will be a constant battle for you to the day God calls you home. There's never going to come a day that you wake up and say, I'm perfect today. This flesh will do no wrong today. Yeah, this flesh will jump up on you real quick if you have an attitude like that. Don't trust your flesh. So sanctification is this. It's God's grace working upon the affections of men to purify them and to alienate them from the sin in the world. For what purpose? And to exalt their life to a supreme love of God. Sanctification is this: turning your desires and what you want in this life to God's desires and what God wants for you in your life. Sanctification. Am I living my life through the lenses of my own thinking and what I desire and how I want to live and what I want to do? Or am I waking up every day and looking at this life as today's another day to live for my Savior? What does He want me to do today? What must I, how can I please Him today? How can I push my affections and my desires to His purposes today? That's sanctification. Take your Bible and look at verse number 13 here in John 17. Jesus says here, we're kind of coming in the middle of His praying to the Father. But in verse 13 He says, And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world. He's still here on the planet at this time. He hasn't been crucified yet and risen again from the grave on the third day. He says, and I speak in the world. Look what He says. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. The first thing I want you to see here is that the Lord has a desire that His joy be fulfilled in your life. To where we don't go around down and out because of what's going on, but we have the joy that we realize will never be a part of the world. And the world will never have the same pleasure it used to have when we were lost. You see, once you're saved, you can go back to the things of the world, but it's just not the same. That's one reason I know I was saved. Because at times, to my shame, when I got saved, I drifted back to the world. It just didn't taste the same no more. It just wasn't the same as it used to be. I could go do to some of the same things again. But the whole time, it was almost like the Lord saying, son, what are you doing? Son, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time with this? And the whole time you're like, yes, Lord. You're trying to get that thrill in the flesh that you used to have, but you're now born again of God. And you've now been sanctified in the Spirit, and it just doesn't have the same taste, the same flavor, the same pleasure that it used to have. Jesus says here that the joy may be fulfilled in themselves. Take your Bible, look over at chapter 15 in John. Again, the same conversation He's having with His disciples at the Last Supper. Look what He says in John 15 and verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know one reason why you might not have the complete full joy in your life of the Lord Jesus Christ and what is there for you? You might not be living, you might not be sanctifying yourself daily for the Master's use. You may still be trying to do things in your own mind, in your own direction, in your own wisdom, instead of the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, some of your joy is being taken because you're trying to figure out and not allowing God to figure it out and work it out for you. He says in verse 11 here, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and not only that it would be full. Look over at chapter 16. He talks about it again in chapter 16 and verse number 22 and 23. This thing about joy being full in our life. He tells them again here in John chapter 16, verse 22. It appears that they're beginning to be sorrowful about what's getting ready to happen. He says, And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full. So if you this morning are sitting in here and you're saying, well, preacher, my joy is not full, ask the Father why. Ask the Son. Ask. Pray to God and say, Lord, why isn't my joy full? What is hindering your joy being full in my life and remaining in my life what's causing a problem, take it to the Father and ask Him. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord will reveal it to you. Brethren, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, He'll bear witness and He'll deal with you about things in your life. And you'll know, listen, you'll know when the Lord's dealing with you because it won't be confusing. If something's confusing, it's not coming from God. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. If you got things going on in your mind and you're kind of struggling and you're confused, just take a deep breath and just step back for a moment. Because chances are it's not coming from God. It might be the enemy trying to mess with your mind. God's ways are peaceable and they're easily to be entreated. Take a moment, be still, let things settle down. Ask God to help calm your mind. And I believe at that moment, if you ask God, Lord, show me and teach me that I can have joy fulfilled in my life, I believe the Father will make it evident in your life. I believe God will show you what you need to see where your walk is with God. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart, that you can have a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and that your joy can be full. One of the definitions of joy is a glorious and triumphant state. A glorious and triumphant state, a victorious life. When you have joy, maybe the way the Lord wants it is you've got some victory over some things. So you see, that's what the Lord desires. We all have struggles in our life and there's things that we battle with, but can you get to victory over it? I believe God wants to bring you into a glorious and triumphant state over some battles you might be facing. Not to say you might not ever face them again, but to say that you can get some victory over it. We can get victory over some things in our life. Don't let the devil fool you to think that, no, there's just no victory to be had. No, there is victory to be had. You can be closer to the Lord in your walk with Him than you were 20 years ago if you allow Him to keep working in your life. And you can get victory over some things that you might have struggled with 20 years ago. There is victory to be had in Jesus Christ. But it takes a sanctified life. You see, it takes a life that desires to allow God's grace to work in your life, to move and change your affections. Where do your affections lie this morning? What do we put the emphasis on this morning? And if the emphasis is more maybe on the things of the world, then yeah, we're going to have trouble in the flesh because you're feeding it. Some men have a problem with pornography, but what are they feeding their flesh? If you're feeding your flesh worldly things, it's probably going to lead over to that then. You can't feed yourself with two pieces of white bread and expect to be a good soldier tomorrow morning. See, if we give in to our flesh and we let our flesh dictate what we feed upon, it's going to affect our spiritual strength. But if we feed our spirit with the Word of God, with prayer, with songs, with spiritual songs, we're around good brethren, we come to church, and we feed the Spirit of God that's within us, we'll be more victorious when the battles do come in the flesh, because we're still in the flesh. You see, some men might have a problem with liquor. That might be their struggle. That might have been what they struggled with before they were saved, and it will be a struggle till someday they come home. But if they keep, someday they go home. But if they keep themselves around the things of flesh, then sometimes where they see some alcohol, their temptation might be to go to it quicker because through the whole week they just been filling themselves up with flesh. But if they've been trying to walk with God and walking in the Spirit and letting God lead and direct their life, and they're praying and they're trying to read their Bible, the temptation might be there, but it might not be as strong as it would be if they continually fed the flesh. Does that make sense this morning? Amen. If you got somebody comes and says, "Preacher, I'm just struggling with this, this is," well, my first question to you is going to be this: how much time have you spent reading your Bible this week? So if somebody comes to me with that question, "Well, preacher, I struggle with this specific sin," my answer, my question back to you will be, "Well, how much time have you spent in prayer this week? How much time have you spent trying to read God's Word?" Now, I understand you have to work, and God takes that into account. God gives grace for that. I believe that. But it's the other time that is open. What are we doing with that that will help us when the spiritual, when the fleshly battles come upon us? That's the question. If I spend 3 hours watching a movie and 15 minutes reading my Bible, and you do that through the whole week, how much strength are you going to have spiritually? It goes in the physical realm too. If my meals this week, 70% of my meals are made up from McDonald's, I'm going to be feeling pretty sick by the end of this week coming up. I knew a man that did it. He did some study. All he ate was McDonald's, and I forget how many days he did it. And he was so sick. Sick. Because of what it just... But the same... What is applicable in the physical is applicable in the spiritual realm. What are you feeding yourself? Brethren, don't think that the preacher's up here and say, well, you just... Brethren, this smacks me upside the face too. Sanctification is a serious thing with God. If we have unsanctified lives, I believe that will lead to the quenching of the Spirit. Jesus says in verses 14 through 16, "And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." A true believer must recognize that the world will never be the same again after true conversion. The world will never be the same again after truly being born again. The hymnist wrote this: "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere out beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home anymore in this world." I read that wrong, but you know what it says. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That's one of my favorite hymns. No, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven were not my home, oh, dear Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Does that bear witness to your spirit? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I can't. There's some things I used to enjoy, but it just doesn't have the same enjoyment that it used to have. Some of the men in here mentioned before, I love football. Let me just say this. I love competition. I love wrestling. I love competition. I love basketball. I love sports because I just like I like competition. Something just in me. I just like it. Some men don't like it. Some people like other things. My thing is I like athletic endeavors. I like seeing people work and try to win something. But some of the things that I used to like when I was lost just don't have the same. When I watch it, but it doesn't move me like it used to move me, because I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13 says this: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them." Are you persuaded this morning of the promises that God has given to you in His Word? These precious brethren in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, those precious brethren in there, they were persuaded of those promises. And not only were they persuaded on them, Hebrews chapter 11, 13 goes on to say, "And embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth." Not only were they persuaded by those things that God promised, they embraced them and confessed, "This is not my home no more." Embrace what God has for you. Don't let it just persuade you. Embrace it and confess that you're a stranger and you're a pilgrim. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 12. Look over there real quick. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 11 and 12. Peter says the same thing here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. Kind of what was mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11, 13. 1 Peter chapter 2 And look at verses 11 and 12. Look what Peter says to these brethren. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," which means he's earnestly asking these precious brethren. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your souls, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Strangers and pilgrims. And he gives a warning there to abstain from the fleshly lust, look, which war against the soul. There's a war against your soul, brethren. Your fleshly lust will war against your soul. And Peter says here, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," as how? As strangers and pilgrims, realize this is not your home. You're just passing through. Don't let your flesh, don't let the things of this life get hooks in your flesh that'll cause you to fall. Kind of what we talk about on Wednesday night. Worldly lust, which war against the soul. Lastly, over there in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse number 17 through 19. After the Lord gets talking to them about joy being fulfilled in themselves and talking about the world and how it hated him, it's going to hate us, and that we're not of the world just as he was not of the world. Look, brethren, if you go out here and you try to be a testament for Lord Jesus Christ, the world's going to hate you for it. You go out here, look, I'm telling you, we could, man, yeah. I bet you I'd go out here on one of these busy streets and I could just take this and just hold it up. And I guarantee you somebody's going to cuss at me and say, put that, it's not even a Bible, it's a hymn book. But it automatically, for whatever reason, you could hold up, look, we could go on one of these streets here, just hold the Bible up. And people are going to get fighting mad and you're not even saying nothing. You're just holding the Bible up. But they automatically know, we know what that book says. And you're one of them. The world's going to hate you for it. So we embrace it. And we realize it's going to happen. If the Lord allows, and we go out, if I go out there Thursday, and if anybody else goes out there Thursday, somebody's not going to like it. There's people in the church that aren't going to like it. You got brethren like, why you got to go out there and hold up signs? No, that's not Bible. The Lord didn't. So you're going to, if you're going to have it among the brethren, you expect Joe Schmo going down to the bar that he's going to be like, oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad for you all doing out here. Thank you for your testimony for our community and the righteous life that you're trying to live and be a good person here in Catasauqua. No. If the brethren aren't even going to like it, the people out there in the world, they definitely ain't going to like it. But I'm not doing it because they like it or they don't like it. I'm doing it because I want somebody to think about their soul. And if the Lord gives me an opportunity and somebody goes home and they lay their head in that pillow at night and God brings conviction upon them about where you spend eternity and they get thinking about it, amen, glory to God. Maybe the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and they get saved. The last verse is here in chapter 17, verse 19. The Lord goes on and says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." He goes on and says in verse number 18, "As thou sent me into the world," referring to the Father, sending the Son into the world. He says, "Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has provided an opportunity by the life that he lived for us now to be sanctified for his holy use. Because of what Christ did, we can live a sanctified life that's honoring and pleasing to him and to the Father. There is victory to be had in this life through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, finishing this up, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Sanctification, according to John 17, 17, sanctification comes through the word of truth, which is the word of God. You see, look, the word of God has a cleansing effect upon one's spiritual life. Don't ask me how it all works. If you want me to explain it to you in this my physical limited capacity with this brain, I can't explain it because it's spiritual. But somehow, by you spending time in God's Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, it produces a cleansing. Take your Bible again. Look over at John chapter 15 and verse number 3. Look at what Jesus says. Look, we'll start in verse number 1 because it's important. John 15, 1. I'm almost done. Just bear with me a few more minutes. John 15, 1. Again, still talking to his disciples after the Last Supper here, or during the Last Supper. He says to them, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, wants you to bring forth more fruit. Look what he says in verse 3. Now ye are clean, how? Through the word which I have spoken to you. You see, the words that Jesus Christ speaks to us, it produces a cleansing. Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And then he goes on talking about abiding in him. Take your Bible, look over at Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Look what the psalmist says to young men. Psalm 119 and verse number 9. There's a question asked. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? If a young man asks, said, preacher, how can I make my way clean? How can I cleanse my way? Look what the psalmist says. By taking heed thereto according to what? To thy word. He goes on to say in verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You memorize scripture, you put it in your mind, you put it in your heart. There's less of an opportunity that you're going to sin against God in his flesh. The more Bible you put in, the less opportunity you're going to provide for the flesh to sin against God. The less you put in, the more opportunity there is for the enemy to get in there and you give in to the lust of your flesh. Sanctification is not only produced by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, Ephesians, Paul talks to those there in Ephesus. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse. They go together by what? The washing of water by the word. Why? For what purpose? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Do you see this morning the importance of sanctification? Sanctification is so important because Paul's telling those brethren there at Ephesus that he might be able to present them as a glorious church to Jesus Christ that doesn't have spot, that doesn't have wrinkle, that doesn't have a blemish, but rather that it be holy unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He desires for his church to not have any spots on it. Listen, Sister Erica got married. Brian and Erica got married a few weeks ago. Look, I'm putting words in your mouth, but if I'm wrong, you could tell preacher you're wrong, all right? But I'm pretty sure she would have been pretty upset if she took that dress out and there was a big old blue ink blot on the side of it. Rightfully, she would have been mad. Right? Somebody be in trouble. Somebody be wanting to give, she'd be wanting to get her money back or whoever did it, she'd probably want to punch him in the face. Oof, now I'm putting her words in her mouth. She's too sweet to do that right there. But she would be upset. Brian's like, poof, poof. I'm not trying to stir anything up. My point with this is she would be upset. What bride that's getting ready to get married, to get ready to see the groom and looks down and there's this big ink blotch on the dress. You'd be like, oh, does anybody have white out or white paint or white stickers or something that we'll put all over just to try to cover it up, right? Because it's a wedding day. You want everything to be perfect and pure and right and holy. How much more so the bride of Christ? Look, we don't want, as the bride of Christ, we don't want to appear before our Savior someday and our garment be spotted or wrinkled. No, we want everything to be perfect. Why? Because we're going to the one we love and we care about. And we want to be pleasing in His sight. So you say, preacher, what do you do? What do you do, preacher? How do I make sure I don't have no spots? How do I make sure that I have my iron and I iron out every wrinkle that might be there? How do I make sure my wedding garment is going to be acceptable in His sight, that it's going to be pure and holy and white? Find out what the Lord Jesus Christ puts the emphasis on. Read about Jesus. Read about Jesus. How did Jesus walk? How did He talk? What did He put the emphasis on? What did the Lord Jesus Christ put the emphasis on? The will of the Father. Did Jesus Christ go to every lost individual in the nation of Israel? No. He didn't. He was just concerned about the Father's will. And as long as He was doing the Father's will, nothing else to worry about. Same in your life. My question is, I get ready to close up here. Are you concerned about the Father's will in your life? Not what this individual says you should do, not what this book says you should do, not what this preacher says you should do. What is God speaking to you in your own life? I believe you pick this book up and you start reading it, God will start helping you. I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:22 and 23, seeing ye have purified your souls. How do you purify your souls? He says in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Lastly, sanctification is not only produced by the truth of God's word, but sanctification also occurs the moment of salvation through the Spirit of God. Take your Bible, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to cover this last point. Sanctification, the purifying of your soul and your spirit before God Almighty, the act of making you holy before God, occurs at the moment of salvation. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Through sanctification of the Spirit and what? And belief of the truth. When you get saved, the Spirit of God puts you into Jesus Christ. Christ is now in you, and you are now in Christ, and your spirit has been made holy through the sanctification of the Spirit of God. My spirit has been born again of God. My spirit in there cannot sin against God. 1 John talks about how our spirit, we cannot sin against God, but we still have this flesh that we got to contend with, which can let God down. Sanctification within the Spirit occurs at the moment of salvation. Romans 15:16 says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The only way you'll be acceptable to God is being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. You can't live a good enough life to get yourself into heaven. In order to get to heaven, God requires a sinless, perfect life. God requires sinless perfection, complete holiness in order to enter into heaven over there. And the only way we can obtain that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. His blood cleanses us and sanctifies us in the Spirit. Sanctification is a big thing with God. We're commanded to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. My question this morning is the Lord sanctified in your heart? Where are your affections? Is your heart consecrated for the Lord's service? Or is your heart towards the things of the world and its ways? Only you can answer that question. I have no idea. Do you desire to live a sanctified life, allowing the Lord to sanctify your flesh, to bring your flesh into subjection, to make your affections purified and alienated from the sin and the world and exalted to the supreme love of God? Last verse we'll look at concerning sanctification. And this last thought I want to leave you with. Our lives, listen, this is it. Our lives can misrepresent the Lord whom we profess among those that are lost if we're not living a sanctified life. Right? We can bring a bad testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ if our lives aren't sanctified for the Master's use and we're living more in the ways of the world and the lust thereof than in the Spirit and what the Spirit would have us to do. We can bring confusion and may even be accused of being a hypocrite. There's a lot of people on television today that profess the name of Christ, but they're not of Christ. And they bring confusion to those of us that are trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ because they automatically associate us with them if we bring up the name of Jesus. The man that's preaching on TBN this morning, or the woman preaching on TBN this morning, is representing Christ in their word, in their desire and how they're doing. They're preaching Jesus. So somebody watching TBN and seeing that, and then they see us, they don't know no different. They're automatically going to associate us with them. But we're not like them. So you say, well, how do they know the difference? By you living a sanctified life. By you coming out of the world and allowing God to work through you through his holy word to where you live a sanctified life. You see, we can misrepresent God. The last scripture I want you to look at concerning this misrepresentation of God is found in Ezekiel chapter number 36. We'll close with this verse here. Ezekiel chapter number 36 and verses 22 and 23. A misrepresentation of God. Look what the Lord says to the house of Israel in Ezekiel chapter number 36 and verses 22 and 23. This is the Lord God Almighty dealing with his children, the nation of Israel. Look what he says to them. Ezekiel chapter number 36 verses 22 and 23. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. Verse 23, the Lord continued to speak here, he says, because thus saith the Lord, he says in verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. There's a lot there in those two verses. A lot there. How are we a testimony to this lost world? By the Lord being sanctified in our lives, and they see it with their eyesight. They see the difference. They taste the difference. They hear the difference of what Jesus Christ has done in our life. Sanctification. It's a serious thing before God. What did the Lord tell the children of Israel before Moses went up there to receive the commandments of God? He tells Moses to sanctify the people. Sanctification is a very serious thing with God. And God desires for our lives to be sanctified for his use. Where are the affections this morning? Where are our desires this morning? If you desire to love God, to serve him more, talk to him this morning. God will help you. The Lord Jesus Christ will help you get you where you want to be. My desire is to draw closer to God. And if it's your desire, I believe Jesus Christ, through His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, will get you where you need to be at the time He gets ready to call us home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, dear God, that we can just spend some time this morning looking at sanctification. Lord, I feel like I've left this thing short, dear God, but Lord, You know. Lord, help us to live sanctified lives. I pray I didn't cause any confusion, Lord. If there is confusion, Lord, I pray You'd help clear it up, dear God. But Lord, I believe, dear God, that You desire for us to be holy. Lord, Peter says there, he says, be holy even as I am holy. Lord, I pray, God, that we would be holy, that we would be fit for Your use. Dear God, that we'd have sanctified lives, that our desires and our affections would be to Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, as we right now in this life prepare our wedding garments. God, these days that we're living, Lord, we're preparing our wedding garment. Lord, I pray that it would be without blemish, Lord, without spot, without wrinkle. Lord, that it would glorify You, dear God, someday when we come home to heaven. Lord, help these precious brethren. Lord, bring us together again this evening, Lord. Protect everybody as they drive home. And we just ask this in the Lord Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you, brethren. Lord willing, see you tonight.